Welcome to Invitations to Play, Learn, Grow, the podcast. I am your creative solutions creator and professional mess maker. And I am back this week with a fun topic to dive into. I want to talk about helping the kids in our lives make friends. I want to cover how to support the kids in our lives in making friends in this socially distanced time that we are still living in. And I also want to talk about ways that kids can more easily make friends by being each other's advocate and teaching them what that means, what that looks like, what that feels like, and how we can, as adults, help kids be each other's advocate. And the reason why I felt like this is so important is because we're hearing a lot more often kids say, whether it's because of socially distant circumstances or the different social challenges that kids face in general nowadays, living in a social media powered society, or whatever the cause may be, we hear a lot kids say that they feel disconnected. They feel like nobody understands. They feel like they have unique circumstances that other kids, other people don't relate to or experience themselves. And if we teach our kids to be each other's advocates, then they will gain a better understanding that they're not alone, that other people maybe don't have the exact same experiences they do because we are individual people and we see and we hear and we feel and we experience things differently. But you can go through the same event or experience as other people without having the same reaction or outcome. And when kids understand, no matter their age, that people do experience the same things, we just experience and react to them in different ways, kids become more resilient. They become more willing and able to push back or overcome whatever it is that they're facing that once made them feel isolated or adversely unique. So how can we teach our kids to be advocates for each other? Well, what does it mean to be an advocate? It means to speak up speak out and bring attention to issues, experiences, challenges, inequalities that large sections of society may not understand or may not recognize or may not share in the experience of. And standing up for and making changes in society to reverse these adverse experiences. I myself was having a conversation earlier this morning with somebody, and it dawned on me that being an advocate, being my own advocate, was something I have always naturally done because of this ability. Being physically challenged, I see the world through a different lens than most other people. So there are things that affect me that most other people overlook or take for granted as being an issue or a struggle or a challenge or a blockade to equality. But it doesn't have to center around equality. Being someone's advocate can mean making sure that through your actions and your words, other people feel seen and heard. And what better way to be an advocate than to help someone who may not feel seen, may not feel heard, achieve exactly that by making them feel that the things they struggle with are important, or that the things that they struggle with can be overcome. And working together as a team to find creative solutions to the challenges that some or all or few face. Now, most people have a similar experience, though not the same experience, as they engage with the world. And I've always been very aware of that in the way that I teach, in the way that I tutor, and the way that I show up. I am, and always have been, very aware of the fact that I do see and experience the world differently than most people. And so when I teach, and when I engage kids, and I tutor families, or I work with parents and caregivers to create experiences for kids, I always keep that top of mind, that kids that I create experiences for have different abilities than I do. But my goal is always to set things, experiences up in a way that they are accessible to all kids. So that means setting things up in a way that they can be adapted. And being willing to adapt is a way to be a positive advocate and a way to be a good friend, because that means you're willing to work together to find solutions to challenges you or a friend of yours or a group of your friends face. And that challenge may affect all of you. It may affect one of you. It may affect none of you specifically, but may affect people that you know and you want to be of assistance in making sure that people have resources and solutions available to have positive experiences. So how can we make friends as we advocate for other people? Well, some of the examples I'm going to give in today's episode are themselves activities that I may have talked about before, but you'll see how they tie into making friends and being an advocate. So let's take on a non-human example. Animals. Who doesn't love animals? Whether you're a cat person, a dog person, a bird person, a gerbil person, a fish person, it doesn't matter. But one of the ways that we can advocate for or with our friends or people who we may not be friends with yet but want to be friends with is by advocating for animals. So you could collect old sheets and old blankets from your home or your friends' homes, and you could donate them to an animal shelter. And you could do this together as a group. You could, because we are socially distancing, you could work together with your friends or maybe classmates that you're not yet friends with or schoolmates that you don't personally know but who are interested in this kind of an endeavor. You could work together to collect resources individually and as a group send them in or drop them off to the same shelter. That is a way to advocate for the care of animals while engaging together with peers and building new connections, building new friendships. Another way to engage in an activity that advocates for other people is the homeless. You can, again, work independently with your friends to collect canned goods or non-perishable food and either create what they call care packages, where you divvy up food that requires minimal or no cooking into a package with other useful items. Hand sanitizer, socks. You can be as creative as you want to be. And then in normal times, you might go to a specific spot and hand them out. Or, again, you could take them to a local shelter. And you're doing something individually, but you're also doing something together collectively with other people so that you have a shared connection, a shared interest. You get to know each other as you have conversations about what you're collecting and who has collected what and how much and how you want to divvy it up and where you want to donate and all of these things that require social conversation. Another fun one that I haven't done because I don't have the skill set to knit, but I could go and purchase some, now that I'm thinking out loud, is scarves, hats, and gloves. I have seen in years past where in winter, people take hats, gloves, and scarf sets, and they tie them to street poles, or they tie them to trees in the neighborhood, or along specific parts of their city. And for people in need, they can take what they need when they need it. Another weatherproof alternative to that could be making these things and then putting them in a plastic Ziploc bag and then putting a note in the front that is visible that says what the bag contains and that they're free to take it if they need it. And then the bag stays closed and safe from the rain or the snow. And the materials stay clean so that they're not handled by multiple people. And they can take what they know that they can take what is being provided because you're leaving those instructions. So those are some fun ways to advocate for causes. One instance is a cause that you are actually advocating for the benefit of animals. The other, you are actually advocating for people in need. You can do similar things with people in nursing facilities, children's hospitals, kids need gloves, they need books, they need toys, they need all kinds of things that you can collect and then donate. You can make cards for sick kids in the hospital. You can do all kinds of things that kids of different ages would be excited to do. And again, you're doing it while keeping a safe social distance, but you're coming together around a cause. And perhaps you're advocating for kids with cancer or kids who are undergoing certain kinds of surgery or whatever cause is of interest to the kids in your life. So I want to share a few other fun activities that you can do while making friends by advocating for other people. You can use all kinds of play experiences. If you have a group of kids, for instance, if you're listening to this as a teacher who still is doing in-person school, and you have a group of students, you can set up dramatic play experiences where they role play what it is like to experience life as somebody else, whether that's a doctor or a nurse or a chef or a person who has some sort of a challenge, whether they're hearing impaired or visually impaired or physically impaired, or it could even be someone who has a speech impairment. These are all great ways for kids to learn all kinds of skills that will make them good social advocates, like empathy. When kids get to experience things, they develop a sense of empathy, a sense of understanding what something is like that seems unfamiliar to them. So, getting to experience what it's like to speak another language, getting to experience what it's like to not be able to see well or see at all, or hear well or hear at all, or speak clearly, or maybe not even be able to speak at all. It could be something less dramatic than that as well. It could be something as simple as experiencing what it's like to look differently. Perhaps they wear a wig to have a different hair color, or learn how different cultures care for themselves, whether that's through food, whether that's through I totally drew a blank. Whether that's through celebrations and day-to-day activities that people of a different culture may engage in that the kids in your life maybe have never experienced before. One that is coming to mind is eating with chopsticks, or the very act of tasting different foods. So learning what it's like to cook the way someone from a different culture cooks, and eating some of the foods that someone from a different culture eats. So that's another fun way to help kids make friends. Maybe friends who are different than them in some way. Perhaps they come from a different culture, they live in a different part of the world, they speak a different language, they hear differently or see differently or get around differently. All of these things are sometimes things that kids shy away from engagement because of, because they don't understand, it's not familiar. And once they do understand, they're willing to, and excited in a lot of cases, to go out and tell other people the things that they have learned about this person who they consider a friend who is different from them in some way. And that's a great way to encourage kids to be a social advocate for people who they consider friends. I'm going to run through a couple of other ways that you can make friends in general during these times that are oh so unique, but that I thought were valuable and fun to run through. So the first one is solving problems with play. So if someone is being bullied or someone is struggling to learn something, using play to role play solutions to those struggles. Number two, doing activities together. So doing an activity like the activities we talked about earlier in this episode, whether it's knitting scarves and hats and gloves, or it's collecting items to divvy into care packages, or it's making cards for kids in the hospital or in a nursing home for older people. Doing activities while you're distant, but doing them at the same time for the same purpose, maybe with a virtual live component, like making cards on video. Number three, testing each other's ideas. Kids like to have conversations, but then they like to do stuff. And that's something that kids are struggling with right now. And this is a fun way to make friends and to advocate for each other by the means of finding solutions. And that is doing experiments together. So experimenting with, I think of experiments and I automatically think of science experiments. And I'm also thinking of a commercial that I've recently seen where the teacher is doing Zoom school and she gets them to do a science experiment. But the kids are in control of how much of the ingredients they put together, and each one has different levels of chemical reaction to the experiment. And you could further an experiment like that by having a conversation about why different people got different results and what each person did differently to get a different result. Now, these last three are ones that I've talked about in a lot of different contexts over the years that I've done this podcast, but I think they're universal and can be switched up again and again and again to get different results and have different experiences. And they are scavenger hunts. You can create on a virtual call the parameters for a scavenger hunt. And then, again, as individuals, in your own time, in your own space, in your own way, go and do the experiment, the scavenger hunt, or one element of the scavenger hunt, and then come back and talk about it. And you can do this as a long-term project where you do one clue or go to one place to look for one thing, come back and talk about it, so on and so on, until you get to the bottom of your list. Challenges. Challenges is one that is perfect for giving a virtual experience and a real life experience that can encourage kids to make friends, but also to become and explore what it means to be an advocate for other people. So you could create, again, as a group on a call, a list of challenges. How can we create more fill in the blank in the world? What steps would we need to take? How much of that is in our control? That kind of thing. You can create challenges that kids will learn something. Again, experiments work well for that, but we just had some snow. And so you could create a challenge for how fast can you build an igloo or a snow fort or a snow person family or fill in the blank. You could challenge each other to a snow dance, aka ice skating routine. And you could record each person's routine and then share them in short video clips. And it becomes something to have fun with. You're getting out, you're being physical, but you're being safe. And then you're coming together and you're talking about what the experience was like. Was it difficult for everybody? Was it easy for some people? And discuss why that is and how you could make it easier for each other or more challenging for each other. And again, you can choose your own kind of challenge. You can choose how many people you want to get involved in the challenge. You can tie in learning components, focusing on language or critical thinking or learning a new skill set as a challenge. Challenges that teach you new skill sets, I think, are the ones that kids enjoy the most and that adults find the most rewarding to watch kids engage in, because kids like to they like to watch other people struggle and then either try to show off that they're good at something or then themselves engage in the same experience and experience their own struggle and then have to go back and relearn or reinforce a set of skills that they thought they had that they might not actually have. And finally, as we round out this week's episode, which has run a little long, obstacle courses. This one is so much fun because, again, you can tie in advocating for other people by the type of obstacle course that you create. So perhaps you have to do one that you have to go through blindfolded, or you have to be tied to somebody else, or have fun with it. You could build obstacle courses for a purpose. Now, again, this one has lots of steps to it. You could go through a planning stage where kids come together as a group online. They discuss what an obstacle course would look like, the supplies they need, how they might set it up, what challenges would be involved. And work together to find solutions to some of the logistical challenges that they might face. But then there is the setup stage and actually doing the setup and planning out the setup, which would involve more conversation and planning and mapping out. And so kids are working together as a team, but they're doing so in a virtual or distanced way. And then, finally, they get to not only set up their obstacle course, but they get to run through it. And both in the setup stage and in the running through it, they could, or you could, record their experience, and then they could share it and watch each other's experiences. And again, it's a learning experience for the person going through each obstacle course, but it's also a learning experience to observe other people's work as well. So I hope you enjoy this week's episode. I hope it reinvigorates your creative, engaging process in what is still a challenging time, only I think made more challenging by the fact that we are now in winter and it is not as easy to be outside for long periods of time as it is in more weather conducive times of the year. So I hope you enjoy these ideas. I hope you'll put your own spin on these ideas. And I hope that this conversation sparked more conversation between you and the kids in your lives about advocacy and what that means and how we can all be an advocate for ourselves and for other people. And it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, or what your abilities are. We all can engage together. We can all make friends, but we can also all look out for and support one another. And that's what advocacy is all about. And honestly, that's what friendship is all about as well. And that is what I want to encourage, is friends, old friends, new friends, yet discovered friends, working together, coming together, and being there to support each other as we each have our own experiences. So thank you for joining me this week. I hope you'll come back next time when I'll have another fun learning and skill building topic to explore together. Have a great week, and I'll talk to you soon.